So I took a 3-week vacation, and during that time, we went to 3 different churches because we missed 3 Sundays. And one of the churches that we went to, the usher took one look at our family and asked us, "Hey, are you looking for a Korean service that meets in the same building?" And I told him, "No." And he had a confused look on his face. It's not every day that a Korean family like mine would go to a more mono-ethnic church like the small church that we went to the first Sunday that we were here. But I like visiting other churches whenever I get a chance, which is usually maybe twice a year. I like visiting other local bodies of Christ and see how they worship and how they fellowship so that we can learn something from them. Each church, I realize, has its own version of the grand vision that God has given to all of his children, right? And that vision is very simple. It is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Amen. That's the chief purpose of man, is to glorify God, make God look good, and enjoy him forever. And while traveling and not really being able to turn my mind off of our church family, this sentence came to me as the purpose behind our church, as one community church. And let me put it in one sentence. It goes like this. We are a church that reflects the beauty of Christ through our unity in diversity. Let me repeat that. We are a church that reflects the beauty of Christ through our unity in diversity. That is the vision. That is the purpose of our church. Why we exist. Why we started. Why we keep going is to reflect the beauty of Christ through unity in diversity. So let me break it into 2 phrases and then go over it a little more thoroughly. First, we are a church that reflects the beauty of Christ. First and foremost, every church and every individual Christian must be about Jesus. So we are about Jesus. We are not about us. We are about this individual called Jesus. Now, we believe God is for us, but we don't believe that God is about us. God is for us, that is true, but God is not about us. As in, God is not all about us. God did not create the universe for us. God does not exist for us. As a matter of fact, the whole universe is about God. He created the universe for himself. When I was a younger Christian, I thought that God has created all the beautiful things in the world for us to enjoy. The sun, the moon, and the stars, the whales, right? The exotic insects in South America, for example. All those things were created for our enjoyment. But I realized, wait a minute, you know, there are things that scientists are discovering even nowadays, right, that we have never known that they existed. The bottom of the ocean that no person has ever been to, and now with the technology that they can get into, and that they you know, realize that there are some creatures down there that nobody, no human being has ever known, and there are some creatures that we human beings will never discover, or insects in South America, for example, the exotic ones that we have never ever seen and we will never ever see. And why were they created? They're not certainly created for us. They're created for God's enjoyment. The whole nature, the whole earth, the heavens are created for God because it is about God. And God makes it very clear in Colossians 1:16. All things were created through him and for him. Doesn't say all things are created through him and for us. No, things are created for God. And so God is about God. God is about God's glory. So before we think, well, then God is a selfish God, right? Because he makes us about him, and he's making it about him, and so it's all about his megalomania. No. The reason why God is for God, God is about God, because God must be about the most excellent thing in the world. And what is the most excellent thing in the world? It's not human beings, right? What is the most valuable? What is the most worthy thing in the world? That is God himself. And so God must be about the most excellent, most worthy thing in the world, and that is himself. And as a byproduct of that, as a byproduct of that. When we are about God, when we align ourselves with that purpose of God, that's when we feel the most fulfillment, when we find the most satisfaction and most joy, because now we are aligning ourselves with the purpose of the universe, which God has created the world for, which is Himself. And you know how it goes, right? You have gone through the teenage years when you were all about yourself, right? Weren't those times the most miserable times when it's all about you, 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 what I want, I want, I want? And you, no matter how much you have, you can't have enough to satisfy yourself. But it's when you're forgetful of yourself, when you're about somebody else, especially when you're somebody about somebody that is greater than you, infinitely greater than you, such as God, then that's when you find true joy, happiness, and satisfaction and fulfillment. So we must be, as a church, about God. And we are a church that reflects the beauty of Christ. Now, I believe the beauty of Christ shines brighter where the world is perceived as dark. In other words, we get to know how truly beautiful Christ is when we realize how sinful and how ugly we are. Right? In contrast, another church that we went to, it was a mainline church that exists for 200 years. A very conservative in its worship, ornate building and everything, but very liberal in its message. A girl probably in her 20s who was trying to be or studying to be a pastor got up and spoke that Sunday that we happened to be there. And the main line, the main point of her message was that we simply need to spread the message to everyone in the world, that they are made in the image of God, that they are the children of God, so they need to be reminded, and that they need to be encouraged to be kind and treat everyone with respect. If you did that, then the world will be a different place. Okay? So everyone is a child of God, according to her theology. And thus, but thing is, the reason why the world is suffering is because people forget that they are the children of God. So they need to be reminded of that, and that they need to simply reach up to this God potential that is in them and be kind and be gentle with everyone. No mention of sin, no mention of repentance. Right? Here was my question. How is Jesus beautiful to the Jews who are witnessing little boys and girls hanging on the public gallows? At that moment, do we go up to the Nazis and then tell them, you know, really, you're a child of God, and you should really treat one another with respect and honor and love. Then the world would be a better place. Come on, Hitler, listen. Would we do that? Would that work? How is Jesus beautiful to a woman cheated on by her husband and was beaten in front of her children? Do we just go up to them and say, come on, guys, chill. Don't you know that you guys are made in the image of God, that God loves you, and so you should love one another? No, there's something deeper than that, right? There's something deeper than disrespect or unkindness in us, and that is what the Bible calls sin, this murderous, right? Ugly sin that will destroy the world before we destroy ourselves is in every single one of us. And the cross of Jesus Christ reminds us of that, right? The Son of God left the glories of heaven and had to die the most cruel death on the cross in order to pay for our sins, showing us at once how gracious and how loving He is, but at the same time showing us how heinous and how evil, egregious our sin is, and that nothing else in this world can solve it. Not just a little more kindness, a little more smile, right? A little more respect, gentleness isn't going to cut it. It had to be dramatic. And so that is what we are about, to reflect the beauty of Christ in the ugliness of sin that is inside of us and in the world around us. I came away with the conviction that we must be a church about Jesus. Right? Christ's beauty shines as it destroys the ugliness of sin in us and in the world, to display Him as supreme value over everything else, including ourselves. So that's the first phrase. Right? A church that reflects the beauty of Christ. Second phrase, through what? How do we do that as a church? Each church, I think, has a different way of reflecting the beauty of Christ, to glorify Christ, right? But the way we, as one community church, is going to do that is by pursuing unity in diversity. pursuing unity in diversity. I think there is what we perceive as beauty when things come together. Have you realized that? A beautifully orchestrated music, right? Thousands of notes somehow harmonizing and coming together, and we perceive that as beauty. Or a piece of art, you know, random lines, right? These colors and lines somehow go together and that, and create this beautiful art. Or a beautiful stained glass window made up of millions of parts. Somehow when these come together and harmonize, we perceive beauty. Or a ragtag group of people coming together as one in a church like this, under one head, right? Christ. So when things come together, they're in their appropriate places, we associate that with beauty. So paradoxically, unity requires diversity. Have you ever thought about that? Unity requires diversity. Unity, when everyone looks and feels the same, is not really unity. It's just uniformity, right? A gray wall, for example, is perfectly uniform. It's gray everywhere. But you don't look at a gray wall and go, that's beautiful. That's a beautiful gray wall. I know. When they're different materials, possibly different lines, somehow converging together and creating this beautiful picture or what have you, and then we look at that and we go, that's beautiful. Because all these diversity coming together to create this one picture, right? One thing. And that's what a church should look like. And that makes Jesus more beautiful. The more diverse the church is, and more different the church is, and more difficult it might be for us to gel together because of our differences, but we are trying, right? And we're somehow displaying unity, not uniformity. We don't all have to be the same, but unity in that, that Christ is made more beautiful. And as he said, and I'm almost done, John 17, 22, the glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. He's talking about him and his Father. I in them and you in me, that you may become perfectly one, so that the world may know. How will the world know that Jesus is the greatest? That you sent me and love them even as you love me. How? When his children become one, as he and the Father are one. So when I went away for 3 weeks, I was asking God, and I asked some of you to pray for me on this one, for God to give me a fresh vision. Right? Give me a fresh vision for our church. Instead of giving me a different vision, what God has done, I realize, is that he has given me a fresh sense of the old vision. He has given me the fresh sense of the old vision, the greater conviction for the vision that God has given to us that made our church possible. And that is, again, to reflect the beauty of Christ through pursuing unity in diversity. Now, there are difficulties. Let's not kid ourselves, right? There are difficulties getting along with people who are not like us. But then again, there are difficulties getting along with people who are just like us. Sometimes civil war is the fiercest, right? Different people think differently. They do value different things and so on and so forth. And there are a bunch of different avenues for conflicts and fights and arguments and so on. And we have that potential. And we have gone through, I'm sure, some of that. And even maybe now as I speak. But in the midst of that, when we look to Christ, our Master, our Lord, our Commander-in-Chief, right, our best friend, when we look to him and not only tolerate, I hate that word, right? Not only tolerate, but truly love on, care for, right? Pray for, so that we go beyond just being kind and respectful, right? So that we may cover each other's sins, all for the glory of God, so that in the end, Jesus is made more beautiful. That is our goal. And thank you so much for being here, because, right, the very fact that you are here and together like this, and the times that we're going to be enjoying together, get out of yourself if you can. I'm one of the most introverted person, right? I get all uncomfortable when people are like around me. But hey, I'm going to do it for the sake of God, right? And I'm going to get to know you, right? And we're going to play together, have fun together, remind ourselves that we truly are one as children of God. And the more we try, the greater the glory of Christ becomes. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much.